Please be seated. I've been asked to talk about the altarpiece today, and the best reason, I guess, is because I'm the one who painted it. But art has been used in the Christian church since it began, and it wasn't a substitute for the Word of God, but it was something to enhance our worship or to direct our thoughts. And so that's what I'll talk about. And first of all, the motto of Bethany, the one thing needful, we've heard this many times. Usually you hear it at least twice a semester, but if not more, in the opening and closing. And you see it every day when you come to chapel. But it's an ingenious motto for the school. And when they told me that was going to be the subject, of course, I accepted that challenge. And one of the first difficulties and the best trivia about the altarpiece, many of you know, but Bethany hosted an art show, and it was a juried show, and a man came in and he looked just like Jesus. He had long hair and a goatee, like our traditional view, and so I was kind of sheepish about approaching him, and I said, would you ever consider posing for a painting? And it turned out he was a 33-year-old carpenter. So I thought, I found my model. He came back to campus last fall, and it was many years later. Now he's 51, so it's like, ugh. He's trying to convince people that he was Jesus in the painting, some family members. So I found Jesus. I had a maintenance, built a nice cross. We set it up in the drawing room, and I did tie him to the cross. And I work from photographs. As an artist, I like to work from life as much as possible. It's really difficult to work from imagination, especially something so important and so complicated. So you need to do research. And I hadn't been to the Holy Land, so I asked A.D. Harstead and Mark Harstead, who had, to give me some references and some ideas. And so we had the idea of putting it on these mats. The room would have been a simple room, and you'd be seated at the floor. So in the foreground of the painting, there's a mat for you to join in. And so visually, that's how I set it up. And then I want Jesus explaining it with his look, but also his gesture. So he's looking at Martha. And if you forgot the story, Jesus was invited into the home of Mary and Martha, and he's going to talk for a while, like you'd expect. And Martha says, well, we got to feed these people. I got to make lunch, basically. And she, like all good sisters, is going to tattle on Mary. And she says, I'm doing all the work. Jesus, doesn't this bug you? Mary's sitting here while I have to get all the sandwich food out. And then Jesus nicely says, Mary has chosen the one thing needful. Now, the rough part for us is that we always think we're Mary, but in reality, we're all Martha. No, we all are busy. And for the majority of us, this is the first time in your life where you have to make choices like, are you going to go to church? Are you going to go to chapel? Are you going to pay attention to all these religion professors? Because before it was easy. Your parents said you were. You know, it's Sunday. We're going to church. And so that's harder. And then for the professors, you know, show me a professor here that isn't really, really busy. You know, have you ever met a professor that says, you know, I got nothing to do. I can do that. I can help you. I'm clear for the next week. And so it hits us, I think, more directly even, because you could even say, well, if Jesus was here, of course I'd listen. Of course I'd pay attention. But Jesus is here. What is our excuse then? You know, it's like, oh yeah, what was I going to do now? So I did have a couple students model for it back to the actual. It's Belgian linen stretched, treated with rabbitskin glue. And the background is a scene from Bethany. And I was able to go on the seminary Schwann trip and actually went to Bethany and posed for a picture with then President Marv Meyer, which I'm kind of happy about. So I wanted it to look like Martha is half in the dark, because she's making an excuse, and Mary is in the light, the natural light. So I want the natural light to play into the interpretation of the event. And it wasn't that Martha's wrong, it's just that she's wrong here. And it's an example for us that we have a hard time escaping, because we're busy. We've got papers to correct and papers to do. And now we'll open it. This is, for the 12th century, this was like the greatest high-tech experience of the average churchgoer's life, the opening of the altarpiece. This would be like the ultimate HD holograph experience when you could change the painting. The two panel is a diptych and the three panel is a triptych. And for the triptych, we are using the life of Christ. And so I wanted to show the life of Christ from his first persecution, the rest and the flight into Egypt. So the first panel is the rest and the flight into Egypt, and I wanted to also have that at dusk. I wanted it to be on the east, the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, so it worked with the actual light of day. And so we have Mary and Joseph resting on the flight into Egypt, and then they spill out the contents of their pack, and it's symbolic objects. A fruit, which you could look at as the forbidden fruit, or a lamp, an ancient lamp for the light of the world, a vessel holding water for the living waters. And so the still life objects were symbolic. And then there's a nail and hammers, which kind of pre-suggests his crucifixion later on the cross. And the models for these, there's a current student here that actually posed. So if somebody walks up to you and says, I'm baby Jesus, you don't have to be scared. Because it was 18 years ago that I actually worked on I got the commission 18 years ago and worked on bringing the sources together. And so a current student did pose for baby Jesus. And several other either family members or college students, because I thought, well, this is a college chapel, and so the interpretation of who these people are makes sense for them to be in that age range, even though it's arguable. As a work of art, you're not necessarily literal. It's not a photograph of the event. It's an interpretation. It's a symbol or a sign that would suggest what it is. For the crucifixion, I at first wanted all the soldiers and all the people, and then when I wanted to make a bolder statement, it simplified into Christ on the cross and Mary and John. And the scale, because I wanted it life size, changes the way it looks, and optically the crucifixion actually comes forward before the figures. And the skull is probably the most ancient of symbols for at the crucifixion that they used. The crucifixion wasn't that popular as an early Christian theme. They didn't feel it was necessarily a good marketing tool for converts at the time. So the skull at the base of the cross was actually the symbol of Adam's skull, the death of Adam. Through the death of Adam, the sin of one man, and it's redeemed by Christ. And so that is why there's a skull at the base of the cross. Some people use the skull also to suggest Christ's victory over death and Golgotha, the place of the skull. But the one I like the best is Adam's, I think. It became part of a medieval tradition in relics and the search for the true cross, because they actually had this idea that Adam was buried at that site and that the cross was connected to, literally, to the bones of Adam. As an artist, you're always challenged to do a public work where people may criticize or people may not appreciate it, but it was commissioned in 1994, it was painted in 1995, and it was dedicated in 1996. And it's been a part of the Bethany's Chapel since then, I'm happy to say, and hope that we can become sensitive to the message of the artwork, that there is one thing needful, that Christ came, died on the cross, and rose again for our salvation.